Did you know that stigma surrounding mental health can have harmful effects on individuals? Check your bias and challenge stereotypes to create a more understanding and inclusive Barbados. A message from the Barbados Psychiatric Hospital, the Ministry of Health and Wellness Barbados, and the Barbados Government Information Service.
And this segment, Check My Bias, is brought to you in association with the Barbados Psychiatric Hospital. And joining me again this morning is Ryan Lewis. Good morning, Ryan.
Hi, good morning, Carol. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Carol Hollingsworth, she was with us last week and she's come back again. So good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
It's going to be interesting to hear what you have to say today. Well, today we are looking at around the topic recognizing sources of bias, media culture, and upbringing. So let's go into that. I'm not sure what conversations you guys have been having, so I don't know where you're going to fit into this, but this is interesting. Yes. So Ryan, talk to me a little bit about that and where you see our responsibility in media or the concerns that you may have, be it print media, radio, TV,
digital,
anything. Yeah, social media. Well. Yeah, social media.
So the media has a direct responsibility. They are responsible for basically shaping opinions. So programs such as this becomes positive in terms of creating awareness about stigma. So we get the opportunity to inform residents and the public generally about what stigma is, how to go about it, how to deal with it, what it is, and inadvertently sometimes how it perpetuates persons, not just normal persons, but especially those persons with mental illness. Mm-hmm. Typically, how we portray, how we speak about persons with mental illness can be very detrimental to them. A lot of movies, a lot of subtitles, a lot of books kind of depict them as the person that is violent or that the person that is weak. And what that does is create a false narrative about what mental illness is and more so what or who the person is, mm-hmm. and what they're capable of. So the media has a dire responsibility sometimes in portraying accurately the facts, and they have an ethical responsibility in ensuring that both sides, that I understand the need to break the story, but mm-hmm. let it be grounded in facts, not sensationalized by just a headline for viewings or ratings, mm-hmm. but actually that you get that story as accurate as possible. So about doing your research, even if you don't get to the person directly that is affected or involved in the story that you're about to break, mm-hmm. that you can at least liaise with a therapist or a mental health care provider, an expert in the field that can guide you sometimes about how you can portray or resonate the story with the listeners or with your viewers per se. But that is formal media, and maybe those persons may be more inclined to hearing what other persons have to say on
the balance, getting balance.
But then there is the informal media and what is said and done on social media. Mm-hmm. Recently, the government has proposed a cybercrime bill, and these will have facets and tenets about how we go about saying and doing certain things. But in terms of fully regulating it, is that going to be actually realized? And we've always had underground media in the island and worldwide as well. But the idea as well to, especially going back to formal media houses, is about, like we spoke about just before the commencement of this show, is about finding balance. So even if we're going to speak about suicide, and rest in peace to the family of the deceased and lost one yesterday as well, mm-hmm. That you actually have a balance of things. So if you're going to speak about suicide in one breath, then you can have an adjacent column where it speaks about resources or about where to get help about, because you recognize that one, there is an issue and that some truths are just real and hard, mm-hmm. irrespective, and there's no other way to paint it. Mm-hmm. But you also let them know that there is hope. as well, and that there are resources and that there are persons that are willing to help and listen to you.
Now, Karel, I want to go to you. As someone who so, you know, brilliantly last week, you shared your own challenges sometimes with your mental health, but you have to get on with life. You're working, you have bills to pay, you have your responsibilities. But talk to me as a media professional about how, from your view looking on, how sometimes that can impact you and others.
Well, being open about it is something that is personal for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, when you, well, based on personality and when they're newly diagnosed, they have to come to grips with the changes that are happening in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is not going to be as open as myself, or everyone is not going to have the same journey as myself, or decide, well, hey, let me advocate and bring more awareness to this topic because it is necessary and needed in a society like ours, because Barbados is very small. So when a suicide happens, it affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So usually when you see it, it's usually, wait, I went to school with him.
Yes.
Or that is Ryan's cousin. Or I went to the supermarket the other day and he had seemed like he was okay.
Mm.
So it's like how Ryan said, like when those things happen, you should still have a medium where people can make sure that they can seek out for the help that they may need, even if they are not diagnosed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And even with regards to social media, yes, I may be open about it on social media, but I even had an instance, a personal instance, where I had a sexual assault incident.
Mm-hmm.
And as me being frustrated, I went on social media and I vented about it.
Mm-hmm.
I had no positive comments whatsoever. The basic, the basic talk about it was, oh, she's off her meds. Yes.
Really?
Yes. So imagine going through something like that, being frustrated and unfortunately using social media to vent my frustration, and then everybody behind a keyboard is saying or not believing me because of a diagnosis that they don't understand, and instantly default into, oh, she needs actually medication today.
Wow. It's like you're trying to do what you can to help you go through a serious situation and you get backlash from
yes.
it. Let's talk about upbringing now, because a lot of how we are and how we react and how we post has to do with upbringing as well. That's why this whole Check My Bias program is out here.
Definitely. Socialization can be categorized primarily or secondarily. And our primary socialization occurs in the home setting.
Mm-hmm.
So chances are, if you grew up in a home of, let me say, Anglican or Christianity, religious persuasion, chances are you're going to become that. But there is also the exception to the rule that some persons go against the grain as well.
Mm-hmm.
But much of that indoctrination is still put in the individual in terms of values, as terms of norms and mores.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you learn a particular set of things, that you start to behave and become those set of things as well. But as you grow out and you socialize in the school and at work and in the community at large, which is your secondary socialization, you also find there are other things that impart and affect you, inspire you, influences you. And this could be either positive or negative. Like when I grew up, things like the Indian guy that would come around every Saturday, referred to him as a coolie man.
Yeah.
But is that nickname or how we call that person, is that respectfully accepted?
How do they feel about it? When we do that?
Going to school and everybody has a nickname for you. It's either fat man or red man, tall man or short man. And we know sometimes, a lot of times, these nicknames come about some vulnerable experience.
Mm.
Some experience that we ourselves did not like. And they just hang on you. And they can really translate into bullying, peer pressure, and they can make persons feel inadequate, angry, worthless, and these things can affect you mentally. And that trauma, because everybody think that trauma sometimes is always pandemic level, trauma can be as small as, like, let me not even not minimize it, mm-hmm. because trauma is that respective.
It's very real to the person.
Very real to the person, yeah. And it's at pandemic level, but sometimes we looking onto it, we say, man, you got to get on like that because of that little thing. Mm-hmm. Not small, but for them is large, and we mm-hmm. need to accept individuality. And once we do not accept individuality, we're going to always have this tug of war about stigma, perceptions, and vulnerabilities, and these kind of different things, mm-hmm. because we're not being open about how things are affecting us respectively.
Wow. Okay. Check my bias is what I need to do. And we're talking about basically media, culture, upbringing. And Carell shared a very sensitive moment in her life, you know, dealing with a sexual assault and going on social media. And, you know, you needed to vent at that time. Now, I'm going to bring it this way. Based on that experience and the negative comments, what would you say if you have any other negative experience, and we are not talking about sexual assault, but how do you manage it now instead of going on social media? What's the best way? Because somebody may be out there thinking, there's nowhere for me to go and vent. What would you advise them, and how would you handle anything going forward?
Well, with regards to negativity, how I do with negativity now on any level, be it somebody telling me, okay, I could touch on Ryan's upbringing. Mm-hmm. So my dad was a politician. So I mm-hmm. actually used to get teased at school for being growing up differently from mm-hmm. everybody else. And that affected me. But at the same time, it was positive because I'm a very open person and I'm very outspoken about things because mm-hmm. I was encouraged to be right. outspoken. But when it comes to negative situations, which are very, very hard, you turn to your support system.
But you right. have to know that there's a support yes. system out there.
Yes, definitely. Yes, because I definitely don't have the same support system today that I would have had when I was initially diagnosed 15 years ago. And even as a child, because some of your childhood friends drop off too, and you think about those moments that you would have shared with them, and they're now not there for you to call. So in negative situations, you can reach out to these same resources that are available to us today, which is the psychiatric hospital, as well as the same hotline that would have been launched recently. Mm-hmm. And you can even talk to your doctor about it, because that's what they're also there for. And then you also have therapy. Therapy helps a lot. I was transitioning in back here after being diagnosed in these states. And I found that therapy worked and went very, very, very far for myself, because it is a safe space between you and a doctor that fully understands when you actually are angry and when you're actually sad, rather than writing you off like how somebody in society would write you off and chalk it up to, oh, she's a mad girl. Just like how Ryan said, those labels are very hurtful. And they are very long lasting. Even if I had it for 15 years, it still hurts as much as day one.
Day one. Wow. So, Ryan, somebody who is probably struggling silently, what would you say to them? You know, we're looking at it from the media perspective, and sometimes some of the negative perceptions and voices out there could cause somebody to say, not me, I am not telling anybody anything. But what would you say to that person who's struggling silently?
Well, that first of all, that is okay not to be okay. What is not okay is staying not okay. And that if initially you reach out to a trusted friend or family member and that resource is inadequate, is not making you feel any better, is not pulling you out of that rut, that there are formulated services that you can reach out to. There is a psychiatric hospital. You can contact us at 536-3091. And there are other public and private entities that you can approach in terms of therapy sessions, whatever your main concern is, you can just reach out to them about that. There is a resource list that is available, I will share with you, and you can share with the wider public. You can actually log on to our socials at Psyche Hospital, that is PSYCHI Hospital, across all social media platforms, and find out more about what these resources are, how you can get in touch with them, how you can reach out to them, what services do they offer. Because a lot of the times, persons' problems are not the problem. The ability to speak and have that connectedness is the problem. People say that suicide is the problem. Suicide is not the problem. Suicide is the last step of a whole long line of problems. Wow. And that psychological pain that the person believes is not coming to an end becomes their last very step. But they're reaching out. There are a lot of flags out there. So reach out to somebody and get the help that is required. You are not weak and you are not a character flaw.
Wow. I tell you, every time you come in here, we are just taken to another level. Ryan Lewis, thank you so much for joining me again from the Psychiatric Hospital. Carell Hollingsworth, thank you so much for sharing. And the more we chat with you, the more we see so many different levels to mental wellness, because I think we all have to deal with our mental health. All have to. It's just that people are on different levels and on different spectrums. So definitely. Thank you so much for sharing.
And yeah, thank you You're for welcome. Having us.
Thank you so much.
Hey, we need to check the bias. We really do.
Definitely. Don't want to offer.